We continue our learning of the Nishmas David ben Menachem Shem Chaim Yaakov ben Pinchas Aliyo. We're in Adios Perek Aleph Mishnah Yudalad. A very nice introduction to Parshas Parah this week is this Mishnah. The Torah says in Parshas Chukas v'chol kli fasuach asher ein sabin pasil alav tomehu. This is speaking according to the Chachamim. The Torah here in Parshas Chukas, when we're speaking about Tumas Meis, is speaking about clay cheres, earthenware vessels, and earthenware vessels are unique in that they can become tamei from inside, like other kalim, like metal kalim, for example, but they cannot become a tamei from the outside. If something tamei, a dead sheretz touches them, someone whose tamei touches them from the outside, so they don't become tamei. They become tamei from the inside. Even something in the airspace that's not touching the kli can be metamei or clay cheres. That's a chumah that it has over a metal kalim, other kalim. But to the outside, there's a leniency. The fact that the outside does not become tamei, and because of that, if, for example, there's a what we call it samid pasil, that's what the Torah speaks about. The top is fastened very tightly, and nothing can get in. So then that the clay cheres can protect anything that's inside from becoming tummy. If something touches the outside, it's not a problem. If there's even tumma in the room, it's not going to be a problem because the outside doesn't become tummy. And if the top is fastened, so then the tumma doesn't go into the airspace either. So that is a little bit of an introduction to this Mishnah. The Mishnah also can be understood that it's speaking about not only a clay cheres earthenware vessel that has items, kalim, inside, and it's tightly fastened, and there may be tumah in the room that potentially could make it tameh, a tumas meis, and for which we say since the top is fastened and the outside doesn't become tameh, everything that's inside, any kalim that may be inside, are going to be tahor as well. Maybe another case as well. Let's say, for example, you have a two-story house and there's an opening in the ceiling, and on the bottom you have, let's say, a mace. There's a dead body on the bottom story. So generally, the tumah would go up through the hatchway, through the opening, and we metame anything upstairs, people upstairs and kalim that are upstairs. But if you have a clay cheres earthenware vessel that is covering the entire opening, and now the outside, so the tumah can't ascend. The tumah will not go up into the upper story because what's blocking it? Klei cheres, and the outside of the klei cheres is chotzeitz. It's b'fnei atum. It's a chatzitz. It's an interposition, and it protects the tumah from coming upstairs. So nothing upstairs is going to become tumah from the mace that's downstairs because there's a klei cheres, an earthenware vessel that's in the opening where the outside is facing the bottom of the kli. Let's say the closed part of the kli is facing down. And therefore the Tumas Meis cannot go up. So here the Mishnah says like this, we're going to see a machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Klei cheres matzil al hakol. So here it says a klei cheres that is fastened very tightly, and it's in an ohel hameis. The area is covered. Potentially Tuma should go into what's inside, but here it's fastened very tightly. Or let's say it's in that opening in the ceiling, and therefore it protects any Tuma from coming up. Beis Hillel says it protects everything. Klei cheres is going to save whether they be kalim inside that in the klei cheres or in the upper story, or food and drink that are in a kli that's closed in the earthenware vessel that's fastened tightly, or food and drink that may be in the upper story with the klei cheres blocking it. Everything is going to be tohor. The tumas meis will not affect any of the food or the kalim. Ubei shamei omrim eino matzil ela al ha'ochlin v'al ha'mashkim v'al klei cheres. So says Beis Shammai, the only thing that the klei cheres is going to protect you from is from the food or the drink or klei cheres themselves. There are other earthenware vessels. That earthenware vessel itself or other earthenware vessels as well, which don't become tamei from the outside. But other kalim, let's say metal kalim, are not going to be protected. That means if you have a mace, let's say in the bottom story, and there's a klei cheres in the opening, and on top, in the upper story, you have pots and pans, metal pots and pans, those will become tameh, and the kli cheres will not be chotzeitz b'fnei hatoma. Same thing if you have within an ohel hameis, let's say it's only one story, you have an earthenware vessel, and inside you have some needles, some little metal cups or whatever they may be, and it's tightly fastened, so the tuma will not affect that kli cheres, and it will not affect any food or drink that may be inside that kli cheres because it's fastened, but it will affect any metal kalim that are inside, or glass kalim, whatever it may be, will be affected by the tumah, even though it's fastened tightly. So Amulam Beis Hillel says, "Bnei Ma, why should it be? Why should other kalim be tameh?" However you look at it, if you're telling me that the klei cheres can be chotitz, can act as a barrier to the tumah, so it should act as a barrier of the tumas mace to affect anything that may be in the upper story or inside the klei cheres when the klei cheres is fastened very tightly. So why is it not? Why are you telling me that it only protects the food and the drink and other earthenware vessels, but doesn't protect, let's say, metal vessels? Amalem Beis Shammai mipnei shehu tamei al gav am haaretz. I'll explain to you why we have to be concerned. So Beis Shammai says, if you have a kli cheres, an earthenware vessel, in the hands of an am haaretz, who someone is not careful with the laws of tumah vatara and is ignorant in the laws of tumah vatara, so you have to treat every earthenware vessel that's in the hands of an am haaretz as tameh. And if that kli, let's say, were tightly fastened, that would not protect anything that's inside. And if that were in the middle of that opening in the ceiling, it wouldn't protect any tumas mace from coming upstairs, because you would have to assume that that earthenware vessel is a tameh vessel. Why? Because it's in the hands of an am haaretz. So said Beis Shammai, you know why we have to be strict regarding klei cheres, and it does not protect what's upstairs or what's inside, even though it's tightly fastened? Because we're afraid that maybe it's really a tameh klei cheres, because we have to be concerned that maybe either we're speaking about a case where we're speaking about an am haaretz, or maybe no, we have to be concerned all the time to gzeira, because since there are klei cheres in the hands of an am haaretz, so we have to be worried all the time that any klei cheres, we have to give it a status of tumah, and it cannot protect and not act as a chatzitza from the tumas mace that's coming from downstairs to upstairs, or coming from in the room inside, even though it's tightly fastened. So that's what Shammai says. Meisila mneishu tamei al gav am haaretz. Then kli tameh chotzeitz, and a kli that's tameh, it's not going to act as a chatzitza. So we have to be concerned that every klei cheres may be tameh, because of the concern of it becoming from an am haaretz, or having been, or potentially we have to make a gzera for all klei cheres because of klei cheres that may be in the hands of an am haaretz, which may be tameh and would not be chotzeitz b'fnei haftamah. So amalei beis hillel. So Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai, then I don't understand. Then we should treat everything tummy. Then the ochle and the food and the drink and other earthenware vessels in the upper story, or that happen to be inside the klei cheres itself that's tightly fastened, should also be tummy. Why do you make a distinction to tell me and say, well, the metal kalim we have to be worried about, but the food and the drink and the earthenware vessels, though, we don't have to worry about it? If you're worried that the kli is potentially tameh because of am haaretz, so then it shouldn't act as a chatzitza. It should not act as a barrier to the tumas mace regarding anything. And the food and the drink and the other earthenware vessels should also be tameh. So once again, Amar Lebe Sil, V'alu tihartem ochlun mashkim shebesocho. So Amar Lebe Shammai, Beis Shammai says to Beis Sil, let me explain to you why I make a distinction between the food and the drink and earthenware vessels on one hand, and metal vessels where we have to be strict on the other. When I said that, oh, don't worry about food and drink and earthenware vessels, I'm speaking about, well, let's say food and drink for right now. I'm not speaking about Talmud Chacham. I'm not speaking about a person who's careful. I'm speaking about the am haaretz, which means that for the am haaretz, we say that he can eat food and drink and not worry about the food and the drink that may be upstairs. I wasn't saying this is food and drink is mutter for everybody. And a Talmud Chacham, person who's a chaver, a person who's not an am haaretz, person who's careful with tumah vatara, would know very well not to eat the food and the drink of an am haaretz. So an am haaretz who's not careful with tumah anyway, so okay, for him we say, okay, the ochlenu mashkim is fine. And I'm not worried that a chaver, someone who's not an am haaretz, is going to eat that food and drink, because a chaver never eats the food and the drink that were touched by an am haaretz. Not only that, why do I say that the klei cheres, the earthenware vessels, are also okay? Because a chaver, a non-am haaretz, is not going to borrow a klei cheres, an earthenware vessel, from a am haaretz either. Because the klei cheres, we know the rule, the klei cheres, earthenware vessels, if they become tummy, the only way to fix them, the only way to rectify the tumah is to break them. So chaver is not going to borrow an earthenware vessel from an amaretz because he knows potentially it's tummy. The only way to remove the tara is to break it. You can't put it in the mikveh; it's not going to help. So a chaver is not going to be eating, not going to be taking from an amaretz a food, drink, or earthenware vessels. So therefore, says Beis Shammai, you know why I say the food and the drink and the earthenware vessels are okay. And don't worry about the fact that there's the clay cheres protects them, so to speak, is because I'm speaking for the Am Haaretz. He's not careful anyway. So that's fine. I'm not giving a ruling that this is okay, because we know anyway, a chaver is not going to take those things from an Am Haaretz. Aval kashe tiharta sakli, tiharta l'chavalo. But when we say that the other kalim, let's say glass kalim, let's say metal kalim, we say, oh, besides the wood vessels, non-food items, just kalim, when we say those are tahor, when I said those are tahor, and we, Basil, Basham, I say those are tahor, I'm speaking about not only for the Amaretz, but Tihato Lachavelo. It's for not only for the Amaretz, but for you as well. Why is that so? Because a Chaver, a non-Amaretz, is not afraid to borrow a metal kalim, let's say, for example, from an Amaretz, because he realizes that even if they're tummy, I'll just put them in the mikvah, and then everything will be fine. Those are called Klei Shetef kalim that you can immerse them in a mikvah. So therefore, that's why we have to be strict regarding metal kalim. What do you mean we have to be strict? Because an amaret is very careful with Tumas Mace. In general, he's careful with Tumas Mace. So what's going to happen? He's going to tell the chaver, oh, don't worry about this metal kli, not a problem. You don't have to worry, it doesn't become Tamei Meis. Oh, I know Tamei Meis is very strict, so I'm sure the Amaretz is telling the truth. What about other Tumas, Tumas Sheretz, and other types of Tumas? Don't worry about it, I'll put it out, you know, he says, okay, that I'll borrow from you, because I'll put it in the mikveh anyway. Not realizing that the clay, that this clay may actually become Tamei Meis, and the chaver and the amaretz thinks that it's not Tamei Meis because he thinks that his clay is tahor and his clay protected it from any tumas meis going up to the upper story or any tumah that may be inside the fastened clay cheres. So he's going to be not realizing. He's going to be telling the chaver who's borrowing it that everything's fine. So therefore, we want to be strict and say no. Since this is something metal kalim potentially would come with the amaretz would lend to a chaver and the chaver would actually use them and believe him they weren't tamei meis and only put them in the mikvah, and the amaretz thinks that everything's fine. It's not tamei meis because the tumah from downstairs didn't affect upstairs because there was a klicheres in the middle blocking it, but that klicheres is really tamei and it didn't block anything. So because of that, we have to be strict, says Beis Shammai, that the klicheres is not going to protect all kalim. It's going to protect food and drink. We don't have to worry about that because that's amaretz is going to eat himself. And klei cheres, the amaretz is going to use himself and the chaver is not going to use. But other kalim, we have to be strict with. Chazru Beis Hillel, Ahuras Kedivrei Beis Shammai. After Beis Hillel heard that argument, they changed their mind. They retracted and ruled like Beis Shammai. We begin the second perek of Adios Perek Beis Mishnah Aleph. This Mishnah we find completely in Maseches Psachim. Rabbi Chanina Sgana Kohanim, Heid Arba'a Dvarim. He testified about four things. We begin one in our Mishnah. And just a little background, we spoke a little bit about levels of Tumah. Tumas Meis is the highest level of Tumah, which means the dead body is called the Avi Avos HaTumah. It's like the grandfather of Tumah. And anyone who comes Tumah from that Meis becomes an Av HaTumah. That would be true if a person touched the Meis. Or Kalim touched the Meis, their Tumah Meis, that's an Av HaTumah. And that can make, there are other Av HaTumahs as well, besides someone who touches a A sheretz, a dead sheretz, an avela, a zav, a mitzora. Those are also on the list of an avatum. And an avatum touches something else, food or kalim, kalim or an adam or food, that becomes a rishon l'tumah. But to become a sheni l'tumah, it has to be food or drink, and only truma and karbonos can become a shlishi l'tumah, and only karbonos can become a revi l'tumah. Anything lower than An Av HaTumah is also called a Vlad HaTumah, because the Av is the father, Vlad is the child. We have different levels of Vlad HaTumah, right? Yeah, Rishon, Sheni, Shlisha are all considered Vlad HaTumah. Av HaTumah is also called Tumah Chamura, because it's very strict in the fact that it's Metame Adam and Kalim, person and vessels, whereas a Rishon HaTumah can only be Metame Ochlin and Mashkim. Vlad HaTumah, therefore, is called Tumah Kala, the more lenient type of Tumah. And therefore, Rabbi Chanina says the following. Hey, Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohanim, he was the Sgan, the second to the Kohen. We know that the Kohen Gadol had someone take his place when he became Tameh. So here he said the following. Mimeim shel Kohanim lo nimnu mi lisrov. As habasar shenitba bevlad atuma, im habasar shenitba ba'av atuma, af al pishem osifin tuma al tuma so. So from the days of the Kohanim, he explained that all the time that they served in the mikdash, they never refrained from doing something we would think they shouldn't do. What would they do? They would take basar of karbanos that became tummy with a vlad hatuma. What does that mean? So the Gemara assumes that basar became tummy from a sheni lutuma, and if it Basar kachim becomes tameh from a sheni tameh, it becomes a shlishi tameh. As we said, only karbanos meat or truma can become a shlishi tameh, not regular food or drink. So here we have a shlishi tameh piece of meat of karbanos. And so what has to happen? It became tameh, you have to burn it. And they would not hold back from burning that piece of meat im habasar shenitma ba'avatoma. With basar that came tummy from an avatoma. Now basar kachim that came tummy from an avatoma is a rishon l'tuma. So what do you have here? Here you're going to be burning together a rishon l'tuma with a shlishi l'tuma. What's going to happen to the meat that's a shlishi l'tuma? It's going to become a sheni l'tuma. And so now you're ascending. Now you're making it more strict. Now you're bringing up the level of tuma. Maybe we should avoid doing so. So this is the Mishnah telling us that we don't have to worry about that. We have a halacha to guard meat of karbanos that when it's tor, that it shouldn't become tamei, you shouldn't become disqualified. But if it basar kachim is already tamei, there's no warning that you can't add on a level of tumah. And this additional tumah anyway is only midrabanan, because ochel min haTorah is not metame ochel. One food can't be metame another food based on a pasuk in the Torah. The Torah says v'chiyutan mayim al zera pasuk in Parshas Shmini v'nafal miniv lasam alav tamei hu lachem. What do we learn from the phrase tamei hu? Tamei hu ve'inu metame kayotze bo. Meaning food is tamei if let's say nevela touches food, vegetables, whatever it is that's susceptible to tumah because water fell upon it. So that food becomes tamei, but it can't be mitame other things. The Chachamim, however, made it gzeira that food can be mitame other food. Nonetheless, if it's all about to be burnt, we don't care that you're burning a rishon l'tuma, which is a shlishi l'tuma, where the shlishi l'tuma now becomes a sheni l'tuma. Hosef Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva added on to Rabbi Chanin Eskan HaKonim and send me mayhem shel kohanim lo nimnu mi lahadlik es ha-shemen shenifzal b'tvul yom b'ner shenitma b'tamei meis. Afal pisha mosifin tumal tumaso. This is another example where we're adding on tumah, we're burning something, but this is more of a kula that Rabbi Akiva is saying that the Kohanim never refrained from doing so. What are we speaking about? What is a tful yom? A tful yom is someone who is tamei. Let's say tatsa sheretz, a dead sheretz, and he went to the mikvah. He has to wait till harev shemesh. He has to wait till the sun sets to become completely tahor. So when he is a tful yom after he's gone to mikvah, but his sun has not set yet, he has the status of a sheni l'tumah. So a tful yom, such a person who now touches oil of truma, he makes that truma shlishi. We said that truma can become a shlishi of the tumah. So if you have shemen of truma that became tamei, so that it's true you can't eat that, but you're allowed to burn it. Kohanim allowed to burn that, and you can use it for fuel. It's not a problem. And at the same time, it's being burnt too, because you really have to get rid of it. So if you have a tvul yom, who's a sheni l'tuma, who touched shemen of truma, so now that becomes a shlishi l'tuma. So now, what do? They would burn that b'ner with a candle shenitma b'tamei meis. What do are we speaking about? We're speaking about actually, the Gemara assumes it's a ner shel mateches. It's a metal ner. The cup that holds the oil is made out of metal. So that menorah is made out of metal. And the halacha is that something made out of metal that touches a dead body becomes an avi avos hatuma, the grandfather level, like the meis atzma. This is what we call chalal, cherev harehu kechalal. What does that mean? So in Parsha, also Parsha's para. In Parsha's chukas, the pasuk says, v'chol asher yigal p'nei hasadeh b'chalal cherev. And the Gemara learns, cherev harehu kecholo. So what does that mean? It means that you have a dead body. The dead body, we said, is the highest level of tuma, avi avos hatuma. If a metal sword, touches the body, does the killing of the body, so we say, it says, chalal cherev. Chalal is the corpse. Cherev is the knife, is the sword. So we say, the cherev is like the chalal. Just like the chalal is avi avos hatuma, the corpse is the highest level of tuma, so to the cherev, the metal cherev, also has the status of avi avos hatuma. It's no different. It's not a lower level because the cherev, the metal kli, the metal sword touched it, the metal knife touched it. It's the same level as the body. And we apply that not only to a sword, not only to a knife, but anything metal that touches a dead body has the same status as the body, not a lower level. So if you have a ner shel mateches, a candle, a menorah made out of metal, and that touched a dead body, so that's an avi avos hatuma, highest level of tuma. So here we have a ner shenitma b'tamei meis, an avi avos hatuma candle that's tamei, but very high level of tuma. And what are you doing now? You're going to burn that with what do you use as fuel in there? Shemen of truma, that's a shlishi l'tuma. So here the shemen started as a shlishi. Now it becomes a rishon l'tuma. Okay, one extra step that I missed. And that is, it says in the Mishnah, ner shenitma b'tamei meis. The ner didn't touch the dead body itself. The ner touched someone who touched the dead body. So let's start again. You have a person, we have the dead body, that's avi avos hatuma. Someone touched that, he's tamei meis. But if this tamei meis touches the ner shel mateches, so we assume that ner, that metal kli, has the same status as the tamei meis himself. So not only would the candle made out of metal, if it touches the dead body, be an avi avos hatuma, but if it touches a tamei meis, meaning someone who touched that dead body, that metal candle is going to be the same status as the tamei meis. So here we have an av hatuma, not an avi avos hatuma. Here we have an av hatuma candle, metal candle, that is now being fueled with oil that's a shlishi l'tuma. So when you mix those together, now what happens to the oil? The shlishi l'tuma oil becomes all the way up to a rishon l'tuma. By touching the av hatuma candle, it becomes a rishon l'tuma. It's moving up. In the previous case of Rabbi Chanan Sgan HaKohanim, you had a shlishi l'tuma that was burnt together with the rishon l'tuma. The shlishi became a sheni. Here I have a shlishi becoming a rishon because it's mixing together. Now I have fuel shlishi with a candle that's an avatoma. It becomes a rishon l'tuma, that fuel. Nonetheless, the chachamim, the kohanim never had an issue with that, says Rabbi Akiva. Even though they were adding a double level of tuma upon it, they never refrained from doing so, because once something is tamei, although there's tuma derabanan, we say in the previous case, ochel can make ochel tamei, but this is also, once something is already tamei, so there's no prohibition, especially now that we're burning it, for there to add on a level of tumah.